I'm Dustin.
And I'm Sylvia.
I'm Bob.
And this is
Movies Against Time.
Please! This is for talking! For the fugitive!
You ruined Schindler's List for all Jackie Chan movies!
Boogie Nights!
And Big Mama's House!
I gotta be all creepy about it.
Because it is October, and this is my favorite movie.
I'm still scared.
I'm right behind you, getting scared.
This is October. I mean, this is Movies Against Time, and it is October, and this is Dustin, and you are Sylvia, and you are Bob, and this is all fact. Go ahead. No, this week was Sylvia's pick. Sylvia. What did you do to our... this is how we're ending. This is the finale. The coup de grace. That's probably not it.
This is the best movie that was ever created, as far as I'm concerned. I know no one else is going to agree with
me. Wait a minute. We did not do Lion King.
You familiar with the actress calls herself Elvira?
I love her, too. She is awesome.
She said the same thing. This was her favorite movie ever.
Did she? Yeah. Well, she is the bomb.
Incorrect. The best movie ever is Lion King.
No.
I don't even want to do this podcast right now until everyone is in agreement.
No, I will not agree with you, so this podcast will never air.
Well, what do you guys want to do for the next 40 minutes or so? So, Tiffany, what was your pick, by the way?
Okay. My pick is The House on Haunted Hill, 1959.
Directed by William Castle.
Yes. And you know what else he directed?
Yep.
What?
The Tingler.
No. He directed the movie you hate even more than this one.
Oh, no.
Rosemary's the Baby.
No, he did not.
Oh, yes, he did.
No.
He was a part of it.
Okay, but he didn't direct it.
He might not have directed
it. Very famously not the director.
Not the director, but he was a part of it.
But was he like a consultant or was he like DP? Oh,
doesn't matter. It's just my two favorite movies put together.
Well, this one's way better than Rosemary's Baby, by the way.
Yeah. I agree. I do love this movie more than anything. I think my poor husband sat through this like 7 times this week. Maybe more.
Yep. So this would be one that I'd be curious about the history of the first time we've seen it. Bob, when's the first time you've seen House on Haunted Hill? Was it when it was made?
It was a little before my time. Honestly, I don't remember. Got to be at least 20 years ago, but...
That's about right for me, too. Because I was, I think, 9, I want to say, the first time I accidentally watched this.
Yeah.
Accidentally?
Yeah, no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah, 9-year-olds don't
typically... I don't know why I married
head
you.
Head straight for black and white movies.
It was terrifying.
So you admit it's a good one.
Yeah, no, I remember being absolutely terrified of this movie. I never knew what it was called. But the first night I watched it, it was, we're talking like 2 in the morning, and it was on the farm, Bob.
Oh, the haunted farm?
Yeah, that house is more haunted than any house that could be in this movie. It's a 3-story house, like an old, old farmhouse. And all the adults are sleeping on the 3rd floor. And the room I was in is on the 1st floor. Long, creepy, The Shining style staircases up.
So they wanted you murdered first.
And then this movie just came on at like 2 in the morning. I'm by myself in the day room. That's what they called it. I hated this movie. When that old lady appears, I'm done. That was the same night that we kept hearing scratching in the kitchen. And none of us, it was me and I had made Sean, my friend, rewatch it with me. The same place, just a different night. And while we were watching it, there was scratching in the kitchen. We finally like muster up the courage. Josh was with us too. Josh probably remembers this. To go out there and see what it is. And it was a cat had caught a mouse in the kitchen and was dragging it across the floor. But at 2 in the morning when the whole house is silent and you're watching this movie. Bunch of 9-year-old boys. How are we going to go to the bathroom? Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah, the movie just opens immediately with an audible jump scare.
Yeah, that's so
weird,
isn't it?
You have to love that. How many movies open is total dark? I mean, the absence of light is so creepy no matter what you think about it.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing that happened with the black hole, where the whole beginning has that weird orchestra section. Yeah. It's all pitch black. The idea is if you were in a theater, which at the time was the only way you'd watch it,
right,
in the pitch black room, it's completely silent, that would be creepy.
Yep.
And plus you're adding the fact that since we're watching it now, most likely it's still a dark room, but you don't have anyone around you, so there's no one to make you feel better.
Yeah, and no emergo.
No exit door.
Do you know what the emergo is?
No.
It's William Castle. He's famous for having gimmicks in the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
So when this one came to theater, the scene where the skeleton comes out of the acid vat, certain theaters were set up with a rigging so that a skeleton would come out of the screen and fly at the audience.
Oh, yeah. My God. I wish I could see that. Yeah. I wish I was there.
There's a couple pieces of machinery left from it, and they have recreated it. There's places you can go and watch it with it.
Wow. Babe, I want to go there. That's our anniversary present to me.
But he's known for that. Like in The Tingler, he had the seats that shocked you.
He sounds awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go for that one.
Yeah.
I will.
Pay for an electric chair.
People got the idea that was going to happen, and they started going to the theaters with like BB guns and slingshots and trying to shoot the thing.
That's why they stopped doing it.
Yeah.
They were just getting destroyed.
They probably blew people's fucking minds in 59.
Yeah, and you mentioned the appearance of that old woman for the first time, where she kind of just glided in with her hands up, all wide mouth.
Yeah.
Witch looking.
And she's not supposed to be a ghost. Like, what is she?
She would have got punched in the face so fast.
Oh, yeah. Not me. I don't know. Maybe. I guess you can't really know what you'll do in that moment.
Just comes out of a dark corner at Rook floating at you.
I think I would fall down. I think my immediate reaction, I of course I don't know because I'm not there, but my immediate reaction would be falling down away from it.
Yeah.
Like, how's the fastest I can get away from that?
Crab walking backwards.
Trying to roll out the room. She is the scariest thing in this whole movie, I think.
Yeah.
By far, she's the one like jump scare that you actually get. Everything else is psychological.
Both times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, three. There's three times she's terrifying in this.
Well, the other one was just her presence.
No, there was twice we get the scare of her face like right next to her. And then there's once where we see her just floating backwards. Why is she floating if she's just... I have problems with this movie.
She's just one of the caretakers.
She's just a caretaker.
And she's blind, she has no idea what's going on.
To move her legs to walk.
So let's cover the... Because this is one that not everyone would have probably maybe seen. Because it's probably the it's the oldest one we've done, right?
Yeah.
Just about sure there's hardly anyone that's seen this one.
Was Rosemary's Baby older than this?
No. That's after the 70s. Remember, that was...
Was it really?
It was Polanski that made that one.
Huh.
Or like during the set. No, it was the 60s, huh? I don't know. Did we do a movie podcast? I can't remember the date.
I don't know. We've done so many. It's just...
It's definitely after this one.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I forgot. But I think this one's before. I think Rosemary's Baby came after.
Yeah, because Rosemary's Baby was in color.
Yes.
I feel like if the same people were involved, the movie should get better over time.
Yeah. Rude. But I mean... Vincent Van Price is awesome. It doesn't matter what he's in. He makes everything awesome.
He just added Van to his actual name.
I don't care.
Because you want to say Vincent Van Gogh.
That's because of how you introduced yourself. Yeah.
Well, that's who he is in Scooby.
Yes, and I love him in Scooby-Doo.
13 Ghosts?
Yes.
That's the actual way I knew him first.
Really?
Because I'm young. That's the first time I ever knew of him was Vincent Van Gogh.
This was actually the first... No, I take it back. The Raven is the first movie I ever saw him in. That was the first movie I saw him in, was The Raven. Has anyone in here seen that one?
I have not.
I'm so old in a young person's body. Dang.
I've watched a lot of old movies, and I don't recognize... I mean, I recognize the name, but I don't know. I can't tell you if I've seen it or not.
Listen, it doesn't matter. I'm older than both of you when it comes to, like...
Wait.
Watching things.
So, I guess we should get through the synopsis real quick. Because like I said, I don't think a lot of people have seen this one. Millionaire playboy Frederick Lauren hosts a party for his fourth wife, Annabelle Lauren, at the house on Haunted Hill, a house that has seen seven murders. Frederick invites five guests. Lance Schroeder, a pilot, Ruth Bridges, a journalist, Watson Pritchard, the owner of the house, which I guess you can't really invite the owner. I guess you could.
Can if he doesn't want to be there.
Nora Manning, a worker for one of Frederick Lauren's companies, and David Trent, a psychiatrist. Frederick will offer each of them $10,000 to spend a night in the house on Haunted Hill. They all want the money. At midnight, the caretakers lock the doors, and the terror begins.
Every single night, the caretakers do not stay there after midnight. It's kind of like the, what is it, The Haunting, mm-hmm. where the caretakers don't stay after, what is it?
Oh, I don't know. I know The Haunting is just another remake of this one. It's like a reimagining.
Kind of. Different storyline. Like, but dusk? They also don't stay.
They won't stay after dusk?
Yes, they won't stay after dusk.
Yeah. Same thing with that. Oh, man, that Netflix series. I cannot say enough how much I love that. But the Haunting of Hill House, I think it's called?
Huh. Yes.
That one, same thing. Caretakers won't stay after dark.
Everyone needs to see that one, just
I'm
so you know.
So far behind with Netflix stuff. I'm just now starting to watch the Stranger Things
series. Yeah, man, you were back.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
You're so far back. In about 2 years, you're going to realize COVID happened.
There's so much media out there.
Yeah.
It's so hard to absorb it all.
Stranger Things about to come out with season 4, and he's like, I just started watching Stranger Things.
So this movie starts out with the beautiful music.
First thing that would come into my mind is that this is a scam. They're going to intentionally try and scare us out of the place.
$10,000. That's crazy today. Like, you'd take that offer today. Stay the night for $10,000?
Yeah, absolutely.
But back in 1959, that's equal to like $83,000 today.
61 years ago?
Yeah. With inflation, it's like $83,000.
Yeah.
Either way, anyone that's not insane is going to take that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'd go into it with a plan. I mean, I'd like group everybody together. We're staying in the same room together all night.
That's right. So that's why, that's not one of my questions. But my first question, right off the bat, problem with the plot.
Yeah.
Watson Pritchard.
Right.
He's the owner of the house. He got it when his brother was murdered by his wife, right?
Yes.
Or by his sister-in-law. And he stayed one night, and when they found him, he was almost dead. So he won't stay the night either.
No.
Why has he not sold this big, lavish house and just live off that?
See, I feel...
Just cash out and move on.
Yeah, big time.
I feel like it's the guilt of not wanting someone else to die, that he feels that guilt.
He's a good dude, man. Better dude than me. I would be like, yeah, I'm getting a speedboat.
Or it could be one of those things where he's not allowed to sell. You know how there's the certain clauses in the will saying you get it and then it falls to the next one in line and you're never allowed to get out because the family makes it that way?
Oh, man, that better be an ironclad contract because I'm going to get lawyers.
There are lots of contracts like that in the olden days where people didn't want to go out of the family. Crazy as it may seem.
I'd sell that shit.
Yeah.
You can't. For sure.
Well, first you go find the person who has the contract. Eliminate him, destroy the contract, then sell it.
I was looking through the cast to see if I knew anybody, and I don't. Vincent Price, of course, but other than that.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up the film history of some of them, and they've been in a lot of things, but it's nothing that's really recognizable.
Has anybody seen the main cast? Because there's a strange credit in there.
A skeleton?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that they put his name just skeleton.
As self, but if you look on IMDb... You can find, like, a description of the actor.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Should I read it?
Yes.
His gravestone did not have rest in peace inscribed and was drafted into Skeleton War, fighting bravely in the Army of Darkness, till his death fighting Jason and the Argonauts, running off of a cliff and sinking into the ocean, later regrouping with Jack Skellington in a haunted shipwreck. Eventually, the war ended, and he decided to become an actor. He struggled getting into acting school, getting kicked out repeatedly for not having facial muscles, securing his first role in theater as the Skull for Hamlet, where he met Vincent Price, and later forming a friendship and starring in House on Haunted Hill.
I love it. They gave him a background.
I found that on IMDb, and I'm like, wait, what?
That's awesome.
So I guess now that's one of the actors in this movie.
Yeah, they got his own filmography on there, too.
Yeah, did you see that? There's like three or four projects he's been in. Yeah.
He has more than like just the...
More than I do.
And that's and that was actually truly a real human skeleton.
Yeah, back in the day, it was so much cheaper just to buy a human skeleton than right. have one made.
It looked good.
Yeah.
Looked real good.
It was preserved pretty well.
I'm sorry, that is the least scary thing ever.
Yeah.
A skeleton with no muscle tissue, no tendons.
You don't consider
I'll fuck a skeleton up.
I don't know. I mean, as a child looking at it, that's pretty creepy.
Yeah, but it looks brittle. My yeah. exit strategy is going to be to go through that thing.
What was that, one of the scary movies?
Yeah, oh yeah, they do kind of play on that.
You rip the leg off of it instead of beating with it. Wait,
you're a skeleton.
Yeah, the thing that got me the most in the whole movie was the very beginning. I started playing it, and it was just a black screen, and then just instant blood-curdling scream.
Did you watch it with the lights off, though?
No.
I feel like this
actually, yes. The first time I did, the second time
I was going to say, this one actually kind of deserves, if you haven't seen it, don't have anything else on, don't have your phone, turn everything off. The only source of light in your room should be the TV. And I guarantee you, when that old lady shows up, you're going to flip shit.
I know people don't get a lot of credit to old black and white movies. I know it's not something most people want to watch. But the reality of it is that this is where our horror came from. And if you don't understand where it came from, you can't appreciate what you have now. And this is just an awesome movie that you need to give a try to. I know it doesn't seem like you should or you don't want to, but it really is an awesome movie.
It's great. Yeah. It's an hour and 14 minutes. It's a quick watch.
I mean, if you watch it with your little kids, you'll be amazed at how scared they'll get. Just, and you don't have to worry about anything flying out like some boobs.
Yeah, that's the one downside. That's why I can't get the perfect 10.
Rude.
No milkers.
So.
Am I the only one that got the impression at the beginning when he was giving them all the rules and everything, and he decided to give everybody a gun? Am I the only one that got the impression that his, like right from the start, that his gun's the only one that had real bullets?
I thought that too, because it had been so long since I've seen... The last time I watched this movie was that night on the farm.
As soon as I saw him handing those out, I'm like, everybody's got blanks but him.
Yeah, I could not remember the plot. So I knew there was some shit going down. I knew there was two people that were definitely fighting against each other,
yeah.
But I could not remember the rest. So I was like, yeah, for sure, his gun's the only one that's loaded. Have you seen the 2000 remake with James Woods playing a character named Price, and he has like the little mustache and he's pretending to be Vincent Price?
Yeah.
What do you think, man? Bob?
It was not good.
I felt like a movie that was so good, they let me down so bad.
Garbage fest.
Most people today coming up are going to see that as their first version of this.
It's not it. If I had to say any of them deserves to be a sequel, it would be The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix.
Yeah.
even The Haunting with that was the one that came out in 2000. 2007 was the James Woods crap. But yeah. The Haunting with Liam Neeson and Owen Wilson. Wow. That one was... Sylvia, did I not call it? I don't think she knew about that like tendency with him. We were watching The Haunting the other night, and Owen Wilson appears on screen. I forgot he was even in it. And I was like, oh, Owen Wilson. Wow. And then not like a second after I did that. What'd he do?
Listen, I'm not talking about it. Doesn't, like most things that aren't recognizable in my mind, they didn't exist. It doesn't exist in my mind.
Until I point it out, and then you only hear it, right?
I feel like I listened to your cousin.
Wow. There's like three lines in one scene that he starts with, wow, so what you're saying, wow. Like he doesn't even care anymore.
It's just his thing now.
And it's not in the script. I don't believe it's written in the script.
Yeah, I guarantee that's not his actual written lines.
That's him every time like, hey, I'm going to throw you guys a curveball, this crazy new thing I've been doing. Wow. Fucking anaconda. The snake's coming. I lost my train of thought. I started thinking about, wow. Gaylord Falker, wow. Interesting name. Sorry, woman. Look like I've offended you.
They just don't. They don't belong in my movie. They don't belong to be acknowledged. They're not there.
Wow.
anything trying to mimic this just doesn't exist, right?
Yes. Yes.
Haunting in Hill House is a totally different storyline, but it's the same idea they take, like all the tone of this they brought to it.
I like that movie. That movie's not bad. That movie just isn't House on Haunted Hill, though.
Yeah, no, this is the original. Without this, all those movies wouldn't exist.
Right.
No, they would not.
I just can't get over how much of a legit actual jump scare to this day, if you've not seen it, that old woman is.
And how is she a caretaker of this house if she's blind?
Yeah, what is she doing? And her facial expression.
Listen, it makes perfect sense because there's cobwebs all over. There's dust all over. The she windows aren't washed. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it is filthy. I don't know what she's doing there.
She wouldn't know that.
That's yeah. Why it's perfect, because she's blind and she can't see what she's cleaning.
She's there just for the cobwebs.
That's the opposite of perfect.
If there's hallways you haven't gone down in a while, you send her down.
You're going to have a caretaker for your house. They need to clean that stuff.
What about the guy? We haven't even talked about the guy, yeah. Caretaker.
He's... You have to leave with me.
Frankenstein looking.
Yeah, down. He has like two scenes, and in one of them, he grabs a woman.
From behind,
yeah. Nora. He grabs him. Poor Nora. Yeah.
Poor Nora. Paranorma.
You got to get out before they kill you.
That she's not having a good time at all.
No,
she's having the worst time in this whole dinner party.
Yeah, no doubt.
She's so hysterical, and she needs the money so bad because everyone in her family has gotten a car accident besides her, and she's the only one that can work, so she needs this money so bad.
That was something to confuse me, too. That dude grabbed her and tried to tell her, get out before it's too late. And then when she went ghost to everybody and she's like, yeah, I want to leave, I don't want to spend the night, that same caretaker leaves the house and locks them all in.
Not only that, but they leave early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they never leave before midnight. Well, they did. Oh, well. Guess I'm staying too.
I think that was Vincent Price's wife, Annabelle, making it where they left early.
Yeah, because she's the sneaky snake here. She's sneaky Pete.
Did you hear her lines? I promise I didn't poison the champagne, dear.
Oh, yeah. Then when they're having like their little marital spat.
Yeah, they're being straight cruel with each other.
They look...
And then, it's not like you haven't tried to poison me with arsenic already.
Yeah, remember how much fun we had, dear, when you poisoned me? Arsenic on the rocks.
Oh, great. The good old times.
And I also love the line where she's like, he's like, can I divorce you? I'll give you $1 million. Will you take it? And she's like, no, I deserve it all. Like, you don't deserve anything. You didn't make the money. You deserve to leave with your life.
Yeah, they were both all about the money, it seems like.
No, I think he wanted to keep his life and she wanted to take all his money.
Yeah.
She was not caring one bit on who was going to get the money. Well, that's
why he was offering to pay her off to go away.
Yeah, he definitely wanted.
He wanted to keep the rest.
I don't know. It is his fourth wife?
Yeah.
Or is that his fifth wife that's going to be dead? Right. I think four have already died, and this is his fifth.
I came home from work yesterday, and you were watching Pit and the Pendulum.
Oh, yes.
The Pit and the Pendulum.
I love those.
And movies. That's another one where his wife is conspiring against him. With
his wife's always conspiring against him.
Yeah, dude, Vincent Van Gool is a straight cuck.
And then he had three wives of his own. He got rid of two and kept one. So, I mean, it's just part of it.
Did they explain what happened to his other wives? Did they end up in that pit of acid?
No, it was just accidental.
Oh, yes.
Which, that's not his house. He's renting the house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For the night. That's Pritchard Watson's house. Or Watson Pritchard. His name is both ways.
I think the other two died of heart attacks and they're only in their 20s.
Ah.
I'm not sure what happened to the other two.
It was that. It was that servant.
Yeah.
Coming around the corner at night.
So, question number two, I'm just going to throw it out there, see if you guys can answer it. It's kind of explained all together, everything Nora sees. It all kind of gets explained away.
Right. Except for one thing that I noticed.
Okay. Maybe that's a different one.
Go ahead.
For me, it's actually with Lance, the pilot.
Yeah.
It never gets explained who cracks him in the head.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's the doctor.
What was he doing in there? Like, what part of the plan requires him to bop him on the head?
I don't think it's part of the plan. I just think it's a setup of something weird's happening, and they wanted to make Nora scared. So they had to do everything, and he was always with her.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe he might have been discussing something with the wife.
I feel like we're doing work for the movie now, though.
Yeah.
Everything else is explained to the point where it's like, hey, there was never ghosts all along, like a Scooby-Doo episode, except for the fact that he got cracked in the head. No one talked about that.
All right. Do you want here's something to explain away. When Nora's in her room and she sees the ghost of the wife outside the window.
Yeah.
And the rope comes through the window and ties itself around her legs.
That's a good question. How they do that shit.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty awesome how they made that look for the time.
Yeah, no, it looks great. That
was awesome.
But explain.
You don't need to explain. It's a haunted house.
No, because the whole reason it happened was because they were doing
They set it up.
The scheme.
Yeah, I get
She
I
wasn't get really dead scheme. Outside the window. That was her, like, hanging from a rope.
Yeah.
How did the rope manage to crawl through the window, across the room, and wrap itself around her legs?
Please explain.
We don't need to explain. It's part of it. It's the haunted house. They have their own
can move stuff plan. With their minds. I mean,
and then the ghosts are doing things on their own, too, at the same point.
Well, the ghosts are helping them?
Yes, because they're creepy. Why not? I don't see a problem with this.
So that would have had to been like a joint effort.
Yes.
She's hanging from a rope outside the window as a ghost, just floating there. And then the ghost has to think to itself, how can I make this better?
Yeah. I feel like that's perfect.
I got you, dog. I got the perfect one for this.
As long as the house ends up with more murders by the time that the daylight comes, they're all happy. They don't care which way it happens.
You got the blood dripping from the ceiling.
Yes, you've been marked.
That pops up twice.
She was pretty calm about it.
And nothing happened to her. That was the only thing I was upset with. Something should have happened to her, too. But she was okay.
You know it took them 14 days to make this?
Really?
2 weeks of shooting.
Yeah, I mean for just 2 weeks, that's good.
One location and... there's not a ton of lines or costume changes.
Right.
There's not a lot of people. They have, a cast of... 7 total, or maybe 10 with the skeleton.
Yeah,
you can't forget the skeleton.
Yeah, it's got the skeleton.
At the time, Vincent Price was already huge. Like, he was in his full-on biggest moment of fame. And this, William Castle was not. This was going to be a B-movie, pretty much. And they did not have the budget to even pay Vincent Price his usual fee. But he did it because he loved the script so much. He actually signed on for 2 movies with him.
Wow.
I think that budget of... Around what? 200,000, and they got a box office of 1.5 million off this movie.
Not bad for 2 weeks, huh?
No.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is the movie when Alfred Hitchcock saw it that inspired him to make Psycho.
Was it?
Yeah, this he was like, you could take such a low budget movie and make a horror out of it. That made him want to do one, so he did Psycho.
Psycho is a really good one. We should do that one soon. Maybe not for you. I know. I'm the only one that likes black and white around here.
I don't mind some. This wasn't bad.
I will just go home and turn on the black and white movies. It's not something that I have to think twice on.
The difference is I say I don't mind and you say I love it.
Yeah. I do. I drive him crazy with it.
I liked Frankenweenie, the animated one they made. That whole movie is in black and white, and it came out fairly recent. Have you seen that, Sylvia?
No, I haven't. Wanted to see
that. Oh, we're watching that one probably tonight then.
Cool. That sounds awesome.
It's an animated movie, like Disney-style Pixar animated movie, but it's in black and white, and it's Tim Burton style.
Huh. Sounds good. Know what I'm upset about?
That my vape broke.
No, and that's an annoying sound you keep putting on that thing. Oh,
I know. I gotta
keep playing with it.
I gotta go smash this against something. What were you excited about?
I'm excited.
I made you.
Thanks, babe.
That was my fault. I was hoping no one caught me saying it wrong, but clearly everyone heard it because you said the same thing.
I was excited about the fact that Tim Burton was thinking about doing a documentary on Vincent Price. But then he threw it away. So I'm hoping and praying that the gods up above will make him go back to thinking about that, because he would be awesome because he loves Vincent Price, I think, just as much as I do.
Oh, that's right. You haven't seen Vincent either.
No. And he...
Oh, man.
Like, I know out of all the directors, he would have, like, everything I want put into words with Vincent Price. I know he would. Yeah, that would be a good one to do. He'd be awesome. Do you know how hard he fought for Vincent Price to be on Edward Scissorhands at the end?
Uh-uh.
Vincent Price was supposed to have a huge part in Edward Scissorhands, but because of the fact that he was so sick at the end of the movie, everyone was getting mad because his shoots weren't supposed to be taking as long. So he had to go up for bat for him for the couple of parts he did have in the movie, because they wanted him off because he was taking so long because he was so sick.
Right.
And I feel like he would give him the justice he needs if he did a documentary or a true life story on him. He would make sure it was told the right way. This is my opinions.
But then Danny Elfman would score it.
That's fine. He's awesome, too.
But yeah, but then Johnny Depp would have to play Vincent Price.
Listen, that sounds
awesome. Oh, no. Oh, no. I just made a garbage movie that's going to happen. willed that into existence like The Secret.
I don't know if he could play Vincent Price, but
no, because he's 6'4". Awesome. The actor Vincent Price is 6'4". Yeah. I noticed how much taller he is in every scene.
Yeah.
So I had to look that up. He was born Vincent Leonard Price Jr. in Missouri.
Mm-hmm. You would think it would be somewhere else, but it's not.
And at age 12, he bought an original Rembrandt for $37.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. He didn't sell it for as much of his worth, but he definitely didn't lose anything on it either.
Imagine being 12 years old, like, I need a Rembrandt.
He always loved the arts. He loved anything to do with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing listening to some of the interviews with him, because he seems like such a down-to-earth person and a caring person. I'm sure he wasn't all the time, but most of the things you're seeing, he seems like he cares about people.
He spent some time teaching at Riverdale School in the Hudson Valley.
Interesting. What was he teaching? Acting or what?
No. You know how some people can bend over and suck their own
teeth? Oh, great. What the hell?
Not funny.
Hold on, I almost had it. No.
Not quite.
I'll let you know when I get there.
You're never going to get there. All right. You don't have that laugh.
We all could try things, get better each day.
You have the I'm happy laugh with cute comics. You don't have the scary laugh. But what was he teaching? Because I know he did all...
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sure it was something in English. He was an English major in Yale.
I know he did a lot of seminars on horror, and he did a lot of them on the arts. He could just go around the country and just do that. That's something he enjoyed a lot.
He had mustache trimming classes.
Rude.
But that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, most of his time was kept just keeping those 13 ghosts in that box.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Okay.
What? What? Why is everybody acting so crazy about this?
They're not.
I still don't understand the Pit of Acid.
I thought that was a pretty cool touch. I mean, it was...
Right, I mean, you're going to dispose of a body. That's what you'd love to have in your house, but... All these people died there, and supposedly that's how they got rid of the bodies and stuff. But why? I mean, if you inherited the house, why do you keep the Pit of Acid?
Yeah.
Listen, you might end up with a wife you don't want later. It's better not to get rid of the thing that could help you later on.
I was thinking about that. Then I also thought about how do you get rid of a pit of acid? Yeah.
I don't think you can once it's there.
Like, you can't scoop it out.
No.
Well, depends on what you scoop. What type of acid?
Your hands.
I have had...
That thing eats flesh and it leaves bone behind. So, I mean, you imagine you could probably scoop it out with metal buckets.
Bone bucket.
Listen, we have a 10, 15 gallon...
Bone bucket?
No. Bottle of straight gasoline, I think, in our backyard. Right?
What are you going to do with it?
It's not the point.
Oh.
We have this huge this huge thing of gasoline or oil or something. I'm not sure. But I thought we were supposed to get rid of it when we bought the house, like the old owners were taking it.
Oh, you're talking about that 40-gallon bucket of oil?
That oil that we can't get rid of because I don't have the money to pay somebody to take it away, and it's just
that's
stuck.
Not even really it. We don't even know how the process starts.
That too.
For hiring an individual to take this. It's like the size of the, when you see in movies, they're like polluting like a water source, and you see those big metal cans.
It's like 50-gallon drums.
Yeah. It's a drum full of used engine oil that's just in the backyard. It's heavy to the point where I don't ridiculous. Move it.
Like, it makes no sense. And I'm stuck with it because I don't know how to get rid of it. So I understand this huge pit.
I know, like,
acid. You don't know what to do with it.
Right? That's what makes me think that. Like, how would you get rid of it in the first place?
It makes perfect sense in my head because I have my own problem.
You just got to call the acid disposal team. Come on.
Yeah. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. You're
supposed to know this stuff.
But yeah. It's just stuck there forever.
So yeah, if you know how to get rid of a, or if anybody out there wants a
60-gallon
drum of used engine oil, just let us know at moviesagainsttime@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram with the deets. We'll send it your way. You are going to be paying shipping.
It's probably illegal to ship.
All right, well, allegedly that offer's out there.
Have to figure out the details later.
I'm telling you, the things are just stuck once they're there.
Might have to come pick it up.
You should, shouldn't do it in the first place. So you have...
where, how far off track did we go?
So far.
We were doing Con Air, right?
So you have poor Nora, because she's the one that gets stuck through the whole movie getting tortured. She's seen the ghost. She's had a chandelier almost hit her head within 3 seconds of being in the house.
Who did that now?
Yeah, I wonder why she's the only one who wanted to leave.
That made Vincent Van Gogh look so guilty.
It did.
Yeah.
No one else is getting tortured the way this poor lady is.
Because, and we think it's Frederick's doing. Did the TV just turn off?
Looks like it.
Had enough of my movie.
Oh, never mind. We think it's Frederick's doing. but it turns out it's, what's her name? What's the wife's name?
Annabelle,
yeah. Annabelle and Dr. David Trent.
Which later on got her own movie.
Yeah.
She deserved it.
The psychiatrist and Annabelle are like scheming throughout. This is the big twist at the end. Back up, Shyamalan. We've been doing this shit for years.
It kind of gives a foreshadowing because he's doing it. Frederick Lawrence is doing introductions at the very beginning, which we did not go into. But he does this little spinoff. But he gets to Dr. David and he's like, don't you see a little touch of greed there around the mouth and eyes? Because he's saying he doesn't need it for the money. He's just coming because he's doing a scientific experiment.
Almost like he's already suspicious of him. Like he already knows. Right. Price has this like aura of knowing what's going down, but playing like he doesn't. Like you just think that's the case in everything he's in.
Mm-hmm. And then with Nora, he's like, she's innocent and pretty. Like, he doesn't have anything bad to say about him.
Or her.
Her, sorry.
But she's going to be the one that gets tortured.
Yeah.
You said there was two heads you ain't never found. You want to see one of those heads, sir? Y'all want to see one of those heads?
And then poor Lance, he's like, he can be brave, but because he's getting paid money.
I don't know why that Watson Pritchard guy ever even showed up.
Yeah, you rented it?
He was so scared the whole time.
Yeah.
he's the drunkard in the one.
You know what I think? I think this is coming again. I think we're getting one more remake, and it's going to be an Uber. Or not Uber, an Airbnb.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
Is it going to be a remake or a ripoff?
No, a complete remake.
A remake would be like the original title and the original plot.
It's going to be Chris Rock playing Vincent Price.
Yeah.
The entire cast of SNL. But Adam Sandler's going to be the ghost.
Nice. Yeah. Wait, there wasn't any ghost.
Well,
except for the rope ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get Pritchett. $10,000, yeah, right. I mean, but he like truly believes himself everybody's going to die there.
Yeah, he knows.
Why show up?
He's trying to talk them. If you haven't noticed, he's trying to talk them out of staying there. He says the party should end. We should go home now. Like, he's not wanting to stay there. He doesn't really care about the money. He's trying to get everyone out.
So he just went there to warn everybody.
Yes.
So his original plan was to leave.
Yes.
In the 2007 remake, his character is expertly portrayed by Chris Kattan.
He is a wussy.
Maybe I didn't see this.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
He's like, I want my money now. I want to get out of here. He's running towards the door as the thing's slamming down. He can't make it. He's like, we're all dead.
We'll be mutilated by morning. So these exterior shots are apparently just a house in Los Angeles. You can go there.
Yeah.
Everything interior was shot on set.
Okay. Yeah. So they just showed up at this random house, filmed it, and then went and recorded it somewhere
else. Yeah. I don't know. I think we can probably skip ahead. We're just watching the movie now.
So this house that they went to, it's got all the bars on the windows when they show up and they're looking at the house. Did that house really have bars in the windows like that?
That I don't know. I don't know if that's added for the movie. There's videos on YouTube where you can check out like the shooting location and see the house.
Huh. All right. I'm going to have to look that up.
Bob watched it in color, Sylvia. What kind of shit is that?
It was on Amazon Prime. That's the only version I found.
They have three versions on... No, I take it back. They have four versions on Amazon Prime.
Literally thousands of versions of this movie.
But on Amazon Prime, they have four.
I only saw one popped up on my list.
They have a colored, they have a black and white, they have one with three people making fun of the movie, and they have another one. I tried watching the one with they make fun. I could not because I got too pissed off about it.
And it sounds like a riff track. So is it a riff track?
Something like that. I have watched every single version this week. There's not one version I have not watched.
Yeah, this one is it's actually public domain, and anybody can... You can view it on almost any site you go to.
Mm-hmm. There's other versions out there, too, crappy versions. Like, the first time I ever seen it, the movie ends at the old lady in the room.
Really?
It's like a 20-minute vignette.
Yeah, they're saying all these other versions that are out there are all just mutilated. I think I watched, like, the original version of it, but in color, that's all.
Yeah.
Which
the color was not great.
I didn't mind the one in color because I wanted to see the difference. But you lose the ghost woman a little bit. You lose the skeleton.
Oh, no. Even in color, she was still just black and white.
But it looks creepier when everything is dark around her. Yeah. Like in a black room.
Right, yeah.
The most shocking thing when I watched it in Technicolor was Annabelle's purple dress.
Yeah.
Looking at the movie in black and white, the way I've always seen it, I never would have imagined it was bright purple.
That's what I was trying to figure out. If they actually knew what colors they were, or they made up their own colors. I always wondered
like
that.
Like when they colorized it? Yeah. Yeah, you got to be pretty creative to figure out what colors you're going to add to who. If it was me colorizing it, all their clothes would have stayed the same.
I think it looks like crap. I think when they do it...
They would have just been wearing gray clothes.
I definitely agree.
When they're walking down, like in the beginning, when they're walking to the house down that dark corridor under that gate, the one guy's suit is like bright blue, like it's glowing because they wanted to put blue on it. It wouldn't look that way. It would be almost black in the shadows. But no, they made it so blue that it glows in the scene.
That was my point. You lose the scariness kind of when they put it in color because the shadows are part of what makes it spooky.
I was surprised to find out that Vincent Price was black, though, when they put it in color.
Yeah. I think you watched a different version of that, dude.
I was trying to think about the form of dress, so actually, when I was watching this, because he's like, her outfit wasn't dinner attire or party attire, and she's wearing this cute little like dress outfit. I thought it was adorable, but I'm guessing that wasn't socially acceptable to be wearing leggings at that time.
But that is purple.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of like her little lingerie she's wearing down the steps when she's trying to figure out if her husband died yet.
Yeah.
It's like a bathing suit, and then it just has a shawl that's like see-through over it. So I feel like that wasn't acceptable either.
What about when that skeleton just fucking launches her into the pit?
I love that.
Did you see the way it looks? It looks like she's keeping it balanced on her shoulder as she jumps in the pit.
I did not mind. And I also liked when he comes out of the walkway at the end. And he has this little suit on that's like a marionette suit.
Yeah, that's cool.
Holding all the wires for the skeleton.
And just like a Scooby-Doo episode, now you see the wires on the skeleton.
Yes. And even I
though,
love that.
Even though the first time you see it, you don't see any. I don't know why. I'm not going to sit here and tear apart a $200,000 two-week movie
really?
From 1959. Like, you see how fake the skeleton was,
that,
bro?
That became a classic.
Didn't even believe it, because...
You can't tear apart a movie like this, because that's why I tortured him this week. I tortured Dustin this week, because I went back and I watched like 7 or 8 of Vincent Price's movies. And from the other movies, this one was done pretty well in comparison to most of the other ones.
So are we, are we to believe the blood is the ghost and not the scheme? Because are we seeing ghostly stuff and the scheme, or is it really just everything the doctor and the wife planned?
I think we're seeing both at the same time.
Because I'm wondering if, like, at some point, Dr. Trent's just, like, standing the floor above, just pouring a bucket of, like, wine or something on the floor so it'll drip through to the bottom.
Well, the doctor's there most of the time. Annabelle is not there hardly any of the time. So she'd be the one having to do things behind the scenes most of it.
That's true.
But I don't think she was going to get her hands that dirty. And I thought that was funny when it dropped. And he's like, who would want to haunt me? I'd say any self-respecting male ghost.
Yeah, which one said that?
That was Frederick Lawrence had said that to
okay.
her. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm still a cat. I still notice that you're a good-looking female. Of course a ghost would want to, like, say hi. Like, it's little things like that that make me happy.
What about when Watson, I'm only bringing it up because I just saw it on the screen, but when Watson pulls that knife out of the arm of the chair and, like, yeah. turns like he's going to kill everyone?
This is what my brother and my sister-in-law were murdered with. They didn't find the heads. They're still around here.
So why do you keep it?
I don't know, but it sounds good.
You keep it. I don't keep it.
He is awesome, though. He has, like, the best-looking eyes when he's getting all frustrated, and he's supposed to be drunk all the time and out of his mind, and he just plays it really well.
Yeah, if we were judging, like... I don't know how you can, because it's...
You have to judge on just acting in this movie.
Yeah.
There's really nothing else. It's just the actors taking control of the broom. There's nothing that's pulling you. It's just them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems like Vincent and Pritchard are the two that don't look like... At all times, they just really look like they're in the moment. Pritchard's amazing. I think that actor, Elijah Cook... is just one of the better ones in this movie.
Carol Altman's not bad, Annabelle, when she's on screen. Like, a lot of her mannerisms and the rolling of the eyes and the way she's looking, you can tell that she knows how to act.
I guess. It's just that it's that time's acting. Like, that's how women acted in those times movies, but never in real life. The same thing with the guys with the hair product so much that their hair will never move.
Yeah, helmet head.
And they all just walk around like madmen. That's not how people are in real life. That's just kind of how you have to be in movies.
You mean let me think of Rhett Butler. And his hair's all slicked back and tight and doesn't move and his eyebrows all going up.
Yeah.
That's like the best thought pattern anyone can think of.
Did you guys see pictures of young Vincent Price?
I don't like him young.
I don't think I have.
A little stud muffin.
Ugh, I don't like him young.
I don't think I've ever seen him any younger than he was in this.
Well, he had, let's see, I think The Shock was his first movie, right?
I
think so.
Yeah, yes.
And he's pretty young in that one, and it wasn't a bad movie. But before that, he did 2 years of... 2 years on the theater, and then he went to movies. But then he had, I think, a few years where he got kicked out and he had to fight because of communism. He was too liberal with his ideas. And he had to get a re-comeback with his horror
He's
movies.
One of the liberal scum.
Yes, one of the liberal scum. So, yeah, he had a hard time in between.
He enjoyed the roller coasters.
He enjoyed freedom of speech too much.
I have to go to the bathroom.
You're not allowed to go. This is too important.
But I got... You guys want to take a quick break and then we come back and wrap up and do the all the other things?
Sure.
I suppose. If you must make me lose my poor Vincent. Goodbye, Vincent. I love you.
All right, dude. What about what about you and just tall, scrawny dudes? You and Spock and Vincent Price, like...
Just so you know, my husband's 6'4" also, and he's pretty tall and skinny, too.
The hell's your deal?
You brought it up.
I bet you when you watched The Munsters, the dad was like your jam.
No.
The judge from My Cousin Vinny, he did it for you?
Oh, no. Too much eyebrow. What about Lenny? Too much hair.
Lenny from Of Mice and Men, was that your...
No.
Did that get you going?
Not a pretty boy.
So, Sylvia really can't play the movie game, but we can. So I'll just start us off. Vincent Price, House in Haunted Hill. Go.
What? Oh, just spontaneously like this?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Because now you just got to say another actor from House in Haunted Hill and then a movie they were in.
That's not possible. You need Google for that.
Skeleton.
I'm not 60 years old.
Wasn't
skeleton. If I was 60 years old, I'd have been a baby when this came out.
Yeah. Have you seen the cartoons with Scooby-Doo where he's Vincent Van Gogh?
I would need another show like ours that went back further in time than we do.
Yeah. But have you seen that cartoon, the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo? It's weird because it's Shaggy and Scooby,
think so.
But not any of the others. It's got Scrappy and then like Flim Flam. Huh. Little kid in a yellow sweatsuit.
Yeah, I don't think I have seen that, though.
Miss Flim Flam.
It's like Scooby-Doo, but what if it was real?
All right.
They accidentally released 13 evil ghosts from a chest in Vincent Van Gogh's house. And he basically is just Vincent Price, but with the Doctor Strange getup.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing that character, but I don't remember it as you're explaining it to me.
Oh.
Don't worry. Next time you watch Babby, we'll leave the DVD there.
Oh, yeah.
She loves it. She wouldn't be my child otherwise.
Umren, while you were gone, we were starting the movie game. Bob didn't take his turn, so I'll put it to you. So I'll say an actor in a movie he's in, and then you have to say another actor from that movie and a movie they were in. So it's Vincent Price, House on Haunted Hill. Go.
The Black Cat. Vincent Price and the Black Cat.
Never mind.
I don't understand you.
Skeleton as himself.
Yeah, skeleton as himself in
Hamlet.
Damn it. And Bob wins.
You know what? It would be, I got it. It would be the Raven.
Well.
And then it would be Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but. How would you get to the Raven without using Vincent Price?
The idea is the you have to pick another Vincent actor Price. From this
yeah.
movie.
It has to be a different actor than the one I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
It just
I've
can't
never
happen.
Been good with that.
It's not going to happen with this movie. There's ways to ruin that movie game.
Yeah, this is one of them. That or Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Yeah.
Which even that one, if you remember who was in the beginning and the end, you got
there's
it.
A couple.
So, was there anybody that had a least favorite scene? Because I'll go out there and say, for the age of the movie, the pace of it is great. I don't get bored in any scene.
The scene that's on the screen right now is the one I had a problem with.
When Annabelle's hanging because she committed suicide.
And they immediately said it was suicide?
Yeah.
But they go through that later.
There's apparently no way she could have got up there to hang herself.
Right.
Yes.
Why would they immediately say suicide?
Yeah.
I mean, later on they discuss it and they're like, oh, she couldn't have got up there by herself.
I like when they ask,
It just at the moment, it was just so obvious it wasn't.
yeah, for sure. I love when they ask Frederick, though. They're like, do you think she killed herself? He's like, no, she was murdered, and one of you did it. Why? Yeah. Why? None of us knew her. Oh, yeah.
Like I said, what husband hasn't thought of killing his wife at one point or another?
Yeah, for real, though.
Rude. I feel like that was a rude comment.
Oh, I meant, I said that out loud?
Yeah.
I'm sure it goes both ways.
Just so you know, audience, if I end up dead, he did it.
Wow, that's wildly unfair. Statistically, everyone ends up dead. Like, 9 times out of 10 ain't even in the cards here. Everyone ends up dead.
It doesn't matter. If the wife or husband end up dead, the first ones looked at is the spouse. Every time. And then they go from there.
Keep that in mind, sweetheart. Remember how much fun we had when you poisoned me?
Truth is, you didn't even know about that. You just thought you were sick.
At the time I first saw, yeah. at the time I first saw this, my least favorite scene would be when the caretaker shows up in that room.
Yeah.
Because I hated that. Now it's probably one of my favorite scenes because it's truly terrifying in this movie from 59.
I think my least favorite scene is when they're going back down, retracing their steps, where Lance gets hit on the head, and they're trying to figure out, and they're going 12 feet, and they never get a chance to fully look at that. But later on, he finds a trap door and gets stuck behind it.
Yeah.
That was my least favorite scene.
And they always follow the classic movie, or like horror movie plan, too. Hey, let's split up.
They're always splitting up.
You go upstairs. I'll go downstairs.
But at least he brought that up when the doctor came up and he was like, we'll split up. And he's like, why? Like, he brought it to the complete attention. Why is that a good idea?
My least favorite decision by a character in this is when they are going through. It's Lance and Nora in the basement. They're trying to figure out the space in between the two rooms.
Yes.
And he's like, go in there and knock when you hear me knock. No, idiot. Of course not. Why would you go in the other room right now? And she just does it. And then, like, lo and behold, here's the caretaker again.
Yep.
Yeah, that was my least favorite scene. I just didn't explain it very well. So we both had the same scene that we didn't like.
I would not do that. I love when all the doors shut and all the candles go out.
Yes.
When Annabelle's down in the cellar. That's great.
Why are all the bedrooms set up like hotel rooms?
That's a good question.
Where they have like an inner, the door in between the rooms.
Yeah.
These are bedrooms. Why are you going to have direct access between the bedrooms?
Well, I could come up with a thought, but I don't know if all bedrooms back then were like that. Men and women never shared a bedroom when they were married. They always had their personal rooms. And they
just
come
get
visit.
I still don't understand that. It's so common.
Yeah.
Well, it was the same. Well, no. With I Love Lucy, it was they had separate beds.
Yeah, that's
separate
stupid.
Separate twin beds.
Yeah. Can you imagine being a grown-ass man with two twin beds in your room?
I don't know if the Honeymooners broached the subject. I can't remember if they did. I can't remember that far back. Can you remember?
I watched that entire series multiple times, and I can't tell you if they had the same individual bit or two.
I don't think they broached it. I don't think they mentioned if they did or not. It wasn't like...
I can remember scenes in the bedroom, but I don't remember the bed.
I know I Love Lucy was famous because it was the first TV appearance of the double-headed toilet where they pooped together in that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, but it was all shot from inside the toilet, so all you see is their hairy butts.
Oh, God.
And coming out.
I don't believe you.
No, that's like a well-documented thing.
I don't believe you. I have to see it for myself.
You would.
I don't. I'm just going to let it go.
I'll shoot you a link, bro.
But yeah, I mean, like, I never thought it was weird with I Love Lucy had that. My grandparents actually had twin beds. They had their beds, and then they had a nightstand that had the little radio on it, and it wasn't weird. That was just how it was supposed to be in my life.
It's weird.
Well, I know it's weird now, but that's how it was.
We can be in a huge argument and go to bed mad in different rooms, but by morning, we're in the same bed. Doesn't matter. It'd be so weird to just sleep in different beds.
That's how it was back then.
I'll bring it back. Sounds good. We could try that out. We're old school. We have two twin beds in our room.
I don't care as long as I have memory foam and it's comfy and it's warm and I can fit my dogs on. No, I can't have a twin bed because it won't fit my dogs. It won't fit my dogs or my cats.
No, you don't get dogs. You have a twin bed for you yourself. And you have to wear one of those pajama nightcaps.
No, I have a twin bed memory foam and I have all my kitty cats and my dog in my bed.
And you got to have the flap for potty times.
How weird is that? You don't sleep with your husband, but you sleep with your dogs.
Yeah, really? What are you?
They don't get mad at me about not cooking dinner.
Am I the only one that sees this?
No.
Let us know. Shoot some comments.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone's going to be in agreement that they never get in a fight with their dog or their cat.
Earlier, you said something about Vincent Price seeing him in interviews and stuff, and you said he was like, he came across as such like a laid back, chilled person.
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't true, though.
But. Why is it all? It's always these guys that seem like the coolest, calmest, most down to earth people always play the crazy people in movies.
They yeah.
have an outlet for their anger somewhere. I think this is a role he got stuck in. I don't think it was one that he meant to be in.
Well, being a guy who watched the Vincent Price documentary today.
For the most part, he's always been in like creepy stuff.
I don't think he didn't enjoy it. I just think that he got kind of cast into it. Kind of like our Harry Potter friends. It's hard for them to get out.
Well, you got typecast, kind of.
Yeah. So, since you watched the documentary, what's your insight, my love?
Oh, he didn't. He wanted to try acting, but it didn't really click with him until he got to play a villain on Broadway, and the audience actually hissed at him. They hated him so much, and then he fucking loved acting. Like, that made him fall in love with it, that he could be the bad guy. So that was kind of the trajectory he put himself on. When he first got into Hollywood, he had signed a 3-year deal with Universal, mm-hmm. and then a 7-year deal with not Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox. And only after that 7-year deal do you see he starts becoming just in horror movies, because that's when he became a freelance and he could do what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And then he's just doing horror movies. That's what he wants. It wasn't that he got typecasted into it. He dove into it.
And he chose it.
He loves that shit. The weird, the evil, but elegant and gentlemanly.
Yeah.
I'll go with that because he does it awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Just standing there, not talking, looking at the camera, he looks like he's up to something.
Uh-huh. He's got those real villainy eyebrows.
Yeah.
They go real high up, like The Rock. And that mustache can only be on a criminal.
Yeah.
I think some of his favorite acting was when he could just be voices and he wasn't even there.
Well, yeah, such a crazy voice. He
looked great in, was it the Ratatouille? No. Ratigans.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yes, you did. You watched? No, you didn't watch it this morning, but you watched it last week.
Ratigans? Wait, are you talking about the Great Mouse Detective?
Yeah.
He's in that?
Yeah, he's the villain. He's the villain rat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's the Ratigans.
Yeah, he's a dope voice actor.
That was like near the end of his career.
Definitely has a unique, distinctive voice.
Yeah, he's awesome.
We were talking about that earlier. I said he sounded like, it's like as if he has a British accent without the British accent.
Yeah.
It's just like a refined speech.
He's one of these people that you think is from England, and he's not. He's here.
Well, when he took that teaching job in Hudson Valley, he decided that he wanted to work on himself and do something more creative. Because when he got out of Yale, it was 1933, mm-hmm. and there were no jobs.
Yeah.
Because the Depression. And then so he moved to London and started acting there first. He was in a London theater like troupe before he ever came and acted in America in New York on Broadway. And then first thing he acted on in Broadway, Victoria Regina. I know, it sounds like I made that up. But anyway, that was the first time he had ever acted in America. And then immediately Hollywood just started sending letters.
That makes sense. I mean, I was listening to a few of his plays. I wasn't watching them, but I was listening to them. and he kept my interest. And it was really weird because a lot of the things he did, he was the only actor on screen. So you imagine how hard that is keeping complete audience by yourself, no one else to feed back and jump off of.
Like a one-man show?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I seen John Leguizamo do it, but I didn't like it. One of the one of the actors he had worked with in one of the plays was doing an interview, and he was like, yeah, it really blew up because he had to wear tights, and he has really long legs, and then that mixed with the cod piece he had to wear, and it really blew up our attendance. Okay. Wow. Okay.
TMI.
I do not know if that's something anyone should ever say. I mean, Robin Hood, Prince in Tights, or whatever that was. There's just something wrong with men wearing tights. I don't care what period it is. Men should not wear tights.
The most uncomfortable I've ever felt was when I was wearing that Deadpool costume and those legs, the pants. Like, it's supposed to look like a tight superhero. Man, that is Chafe City.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chafe City, if you like what you heard here today, you can like, subscribe on your podcast app. Tell a friend. This is probably going to be the end of our October Spooktacular-thon. The 4 weeks of Freaks, Frightmare, Mansion, nine... what were we calling this event?
Did we name it?
We're getting there.
I don't know.
Scaretober?
Scaretober. Sounds original. No one's ever thought of that one.
That's about it.
Man, I love doing this podcast. I love you guys. I'm going to be happy to take a week off after this. Because I've done four this month. You guys did three.
Yeah. Just saying. Oh, that's right, yeah.
You then haven't had
every single week. Yeah. We have an Instagram, Movies Against. Twitter, at Movies Against. You can shoot us suggestions and everything in the DMs on Instagram. Wide open.
Give us some recommendations. Maybe do some that you guys want us to do.
Yeah, I really like watching movies I haven't seen before, too.
Right.
Because if I had my way, for the next like five episodes you hear, they're going to be Stallone and Schwarzenegger movies. I'm trying to keep myself at bay. I just wanted to do True Lies for like 2 months now.
That was good. That's actually one I thought of picking a couple times.
Yeah, but like when it was my turn to pick, we had just came off a Schwarzenegger movie. So yeah. Like that was going to be my next pick. But I'm like, this is going to be annoying.
You don't want to get into a theme.
Yeah. All right. So if we had to rate this... But I guess you'd have to rate it against other older horror movies we've done, like Rosemary's Baby. So I'd put this at a 10, and Rosemary's Baby, like it fell off the rating system and never actually got a number.
Yeah. Listen, this is a 10 also with Rosemary's Baby, as far as I'm concerned. You get off of it.
I don't know.
You get off my rating scale.
I'm pretty close to Dustin's side of that spectrum.
I know. Nobody likes Rosemary's Baby but me.
Even okay. Just for a horror in general, this is pretty strong. I mean, it has a legitimate jump scare that does not get old for me.
Yeah.
I watched The Haunting.
There's a couple.
Yeah. Well, in getting ready for this podcast, we kind of watched the James Woods remake. Then we watched The Haunting with Liam Neeson, just trying to see who had done more interesting stuff.
Right.
And The Haunting's not even scary at all.
Yeah.
There's nothing scary in that movie. I remember it differently.
So they've tried to mimic the movie. They tried to do a remake of the movie. If you were to cast a remake, who would you pick as Vincent Price's character?
Frederick Lauren would be played by, wait for it, coming in hot, controversial pick.
Vince Vaughn?
John,
no.
I'm torn.
He's got the height.
Between John Goodman and Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah. Maybe if you combine the two.
I'm thinking I've seen them both do creepy really good.
Yeah, that's true.
I would replace Lance with Zac Efron. But he would die when he goes in there and gets hit in the head.
I don't know. I think Annabelle looks like the actress from Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner. She'd have to be her.
The Pritchard. God, who would be a good
one? Was terrified of the ghost.
Yeah. Not Chris fucking Tan.
Well, I'm not asking who not to do it.
Probably Jonah Hill. I feel like Jonah Hill could do that role.
Probably, yeah. Seen him in mostly comedies. I don't know if he could do something serious.
Oh, I take it all the way fucking back. Vincent Price is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, dude. He plays Frederick Warren.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
What was I talking about?
That'd be good, yeah. He's got the height. He's got a similar look.
Sherlock?
Yeah, he'd be awesome.
Had to give her a hint.
Yeah, I'm not really good with actors' names.
Doctor Strange. Literally Doctor Strange. Yeah. Yeah, that's
Yeah, Frederick he'd Lord. Be awesome. Yeah.
That's about as close as you can get to Vincent Price nowadays,
get
I think.
At us, Hollywood. We just casted your movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all over that role. I like Nicole Kidman for Annabelle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She'd be good, too.
Or Angelina Jolie, even still.
Yeah, she had more of the attitude.
I think Nora's played by, who's the chick from that 70s show?
Which one?
The one that was dating Kutcher.
Oh,
Meg.
Mila Kunis?
Yes. That's in my version.
Yeah, she has to do a lot of screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, Nora's got some pipes.
No doubt. I have to hear her blood-curdling scream burst. Like her terror scream. I don't know. She could probably do it. I mean, act the role, but I just don't know if she's got the scream.
Yeah, it's the scream that's the most important. May have to have Justin Bieber do the stand-in scream for her.
Might work.
And for the blind caretaker, I guess we'll replace her with Steve Buscemi, but in a blind, scary woman get up. All right.
Skeleton can still play himself.
Skeleton will probably still doing it. I think he's still going strong.
Add to his filmography.
Get him or Matthew McConaughey. He can slim down pretty good.
Yeah.
Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey, both a skeleton. I mean, is there anything we have left unsaid?
Besides for the fact that everyone should know all the Vincent Price movies? No, I don't think so.
That's true.
I feel like no one knows who Vincent Price is anymore.
What?
The midnight hour is close at hand.
Yes. And
even that's a generation ago.
Yeah. I mean, how many people know Michael Jackson and the fact that...
Everybody.
Well, the fact that Vincent Price was in his video.
Right.
No. I mean, I don't think if you asked our niece who he was, she would know who he was.
No, that's a good point.
I feel like nobody under 20 knows who Michael Jackson is, so I don't think anyone would know who Vincent Price is.
Wait a minute. I thought you were talking about Vincent Price.
I asked Kyra, and this was about 3 years ago. I'm not sure how old she was, but she was like preteen at the time.
10.
Okay. Yeah, now she's 7.
I asked her about 3 years ago. Yeah. I asked her about 3 years ago if she knew who Elvis was. And she looked at me without hesitating and said, "The King," right?
I'm like, she knew who the King was.
And it just like blew my mind. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. Cool. I almost think Michael Jackson's in that scene.
They call him the King of Rock, right? I'm like,
yay, there's hope yet.
She knew that. And it blew my mind. I was like, oh God, there is hope.
Every Halloween until the end of time is you're going to hear Thriller on the radio.
Yeah. They keep doing older movies like this. I'm going to have to pick an Elvis movie.
Oh!
I love Elvis. Go for it, Bob. Go for it.
How old are we going? 59, I think we've crossed a barrier into a little bit too much. Like, we didn't have... Trying to find behind the scenes information about this, no one was alive.
And that's the whole
The Elvis
point.
Movies are newer than this.
Are they?
Yes. They're in color. But that's the whole point, is that just because something's old doesn't mean it has to be forgotten.
Yeah.
You said you like musicals, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well?
I don't like Elvis. You can quote me.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking so lame. Sounds like you're about to sneeze.
You didn't like the teddy bear? Choo!
You're going to do an Elvis impression, but not a Vincent Price impression. What the hell?